This is the Pete Carroll Show.
Burley gets it, goes right. Oh, he gets hammered.
The first word from the Seahawks head coach every Monday at 9:30 throughout the season.
We play football, all right? And football's fun.
Brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, Buffalo Wild Wings, Good Chevrolet, and VenueKings.com.
Well, I like that. Yeah, I like that a lot.
Now, here are your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Salk.
Time for the Pete Carroll Show. Coach, good morning. Thanks for being with us. Sorry, Brock's deaf. We can see if we can turn that down for you.
Yeah, we're good. We're good.
What's up? A win in the Coliseum.
Yeah, that was fun.
Feel familiar?
Yeah. Yeah, it was good. It was a really cool game. You know, really hard fought, tough game and battling all the way throughout and hanging tough forever. And it was a really nice effort. Again, team, that's the best Rams team we've played in a long time, you know. So to get a win on the road is good, always good.
What have they done to be so much better?
They've always been good defensively because they have really good guys up front. They're terrific up front, and that's where it starts. And so that's been the steady. Their special teams has always been great, and they were really pretty much neutralized yesterday. But they were, you know, they've been that way. But now their offense has really got some firepower to it, and Sean's brought that to them. And you know, up until our game, they've been roaring. And so it's that combination that makes them better. They got good talent too. They've had a lot of good draft picks, and they've picked up guys, and they've also acquired some really smart guys and that fit their system and all.
What was the biggest difference? How did he come out of there with a win from your perspective yesterday?
The biggest difference between what?
Winning and losing.
Well, they didn't score that last time down the field. There was a couple plays. There's your soundbite. There's a couple plays that happened in this game that were extraordinary. Earl's play was ridiculously timely and perfect. You know, isn't it interesting they did that to them before? Same team.
That's three times that rule's helped your team win games.
Amazing.
It's amazing.
Man.
Two against the Rams.
You
and
couldn't
the one
get any
the
closer than that one. They were stopping the camera to see is his foot on the ground or where's the ball and all that. So that was fantastic. Which I was ready to challenge it. I was going to challenge it if they came back and said he was short. I was going to challenge it anyway. Just because, you know, for the heck of it. But it was a fantastic play. But also, the next big play was the running the guy down on the interception. That was a fantastic play. And, you know, Russell's jumped out first because he just hauls butt and gets out in front of it. J.D. McKissick had a great effort, but Ode Abushi had the effort of the day. Man, that was awesome. He came running. He made the tackle, you know. He never broke stride. That was a great play. Those are my favorite plays, I think, that made the difference in why we had a chance to win.
The defensive line is a conversation afterwards because it felt like two different games for them. The first three quarters and then what they did to the Rams in the fourth quarter. How do you evaluate your defensive line in that game?
I thought they played really tough. You know, we had it was the first couple sequences we you know they were on it, and that's how they've been doing everybody. And then we caught up and got going, and we stopped the running game. And you know, Gurley didn't do anything. You know, 40 yards. That when you hold that guy in that offense to that kind of yardage, and what he had. 7 yards passing in receptions and stuff. They've been feeding off of his production. And so the guys did a great job to stop that. So, you know, wherever that comes from, that was the difference in us playing really well, I think.
You mentioned Cal at the end in your press conference yesterday. I had the guys back in the studio dig this one up. Is this the play that you were referencing when you said flashbacks to Cal? Was it this moment in the Coliseum that brought back memories yesterday?
An enormous moment for both these teams is at hand. Number one defending, USC. Mm. Number seven, California attacking. California has never, ever beaten a number one ranked team. It is fourth down from the 14.
Here we go.
Rodgers throws. End zone, no.
Was that it?
Yeah, that was it, man. It was exactly the same. Cal quarterback, too, you know, both games. I had the real clear thought. I can't remember. I thought we called – there was a timeout called just before the fourth down play. That's why I called timeout, just to – you know, that moment, you know, just sit in that moment, give the guys a little break and make sure everything was right. We got to see their play, you know, and all that. And so it was such a cool moment, and Keith hit it just right, man. That's awesome.
What
Thanks.
Was going through your head, heart, emotion as you saw the throw on third down to the end zone?
No, I don't know. This guy missed it. You know, I don't care. I've been through so many of those. I blow those off, dude. that doesn't. I don't go where you go. You know, I don't think he's gonna catch it. You know, and he didn't. So good. Next play. You know, here we go. Okay, now it's down to this one. You know, and look up at the clock. And there's just seconds left, and it was fantastic.
It must
you know?
Be awesome to be Pete. Yes. It must be so easy. Like nothing bothers you. Like everything is gonna work out. I can't imagine what life would be like. Like just walk through your life like yeah, it's gonna be fine.
Wouldn't you rather go that way? It was so much fun.
I can't. My mom's like that. I can't even fathom life like that.
That was so much fun. That, for the players on the field, even more so than the guys on the sideline, that is such an intense sequence right there. That's living at its greatest. I mean, that's as much as you could ask for. And you know they're going to win. We're going to come through and get it done. So you're just waiting for the cool thing to happen, and it did. You know, so it was great.
What is the teaching point on the timeout as you gather everybody together? What are the coaches points in that moment on fourth down?
No, we're just kind of looking at each other, you know. No, we had Chris had a really good call, made a call. He doubled the guys that they threw to, you know, and so that was a beautiful call, and the guys executed it just right. You know, we got beat the play before. Now, you know, we got fooled the play before, so we came back and doubled the same guys, and they showed us they were running the seams again, so we got a chance to do that, and it was a great call, and the rushers got a chance to get a break. Brandon Jackson had a heck of a rush. Now, he came roaring through there, too, right in his mug, so that was a good rush.
Who is he?
Yeah, who's Brandon Jackson?
Yeah, he's the new star, man. He came out of nowhere. Last week was McKissick. This week is Jackson, you know?
I'd heard of McKissick.
Yeah, yeah. We had at least seen McKissick. I didn't know
Brandon Jackson was until I saw the box score.
John found him in preseason at the Raiders, you know? And so we looked at him a while back and then brought him in for practice squad and out of nowhere, you know? So fresh legs pays off sometimes.
You guys have tried that, the pass that ended up going for the TD to Jimmy Graham a million times. And it was the first time it really seemed like it worked. What was different?
It was just perfect. We've been waiting, and we've been working on it so long, and we've been waiting for the option. Russ threw it out of bounds last time we tried it, and it's really important to get that done, you know. And so we'll come back to it again and be happy to.
Did
go
you
at
do it.
It
differently, or was it
no.
just better?
No. They've just worked on it so much that the throw we threw a couple weeks ago that we missed was why did that happen? Because we've worked so hard at it. So we'll get more of that done, and at least make them have to defend it.
How unique is Frank Clark? Physically and just, you know, even amongst his peers in the league, he just seems to do things that very few guys can.
Yeah, he's kind of freaky now. He's got this unbelievable strength and explosion to him that separates him, you know, and he's got this herky-jerky thing going, too. You know, he's very unorthodox, but what is you know, beauty is his effort, and his intensity is just gorgeous. So you give him enough plays. Like happened yesterday, you got the big sack, you got some big plays on a running game. If you keep him out there, good things are going to happen because he just keeps coming after you. So that was a really nice game for Frank.
You talk about unique and doing things differently. I can't help but talk about Earl Thomas. It just seems to flow naturally.
He's going, isn't he? He's really rolling. It's so much fun to watch him play. He's on fire. And there's a few breaks in the game that are just phenomenal breaks. And I was thinking about it last night as I was watching. I was thinking, why don't other guys play like him? You know, because they see stuff, but there's just something about his intensity when he commits. And you see that he's just flying in an instant. You know, he and McKissick have that same kind of ability to just explode in the first couple steps, and they just come flying at you. Earl just does it consistently, and he had a beautiful tackle on the sidelines. Had some great plays in the game.
The way this whole thing is developed here over your time in Seattle, he was your second draft pick, right? First was Okung, and then he was later on in that same draft. Have you ever thought about what things would be like if you'd never had Earl Thomas, and just the kind of difference that he's made to the program you've developed here?
Yeah, his value is hidden a tremendous amount of the time, because when you play us and you see year after year, week after week, there's no post routes and seam routes thrown for touchdowns. You know, they just don't happen. You know, and hopefully, and that's where it starts with his play back there, but. That's what happens in football. You see post routes for touchdowns, you know, and go balls, you know, and so the corners take care of the go balls, and he takes care of all that stuff in the middle, and his consistency and the great coaching and the commitment that the guys have to getting the scheme right, so he's always there. The seam route they hit early, he just kind of tried to hang on the other side for a little bit too long, you know, he finessed it a little bit too much, and they made that one play, and then, you know, he was going to knock somebody out if they threw another one, you know, he was so ready, but that it's that tremendous consistency over a really long period of time, and it is a big deal in the scheme, and he's been able to carry it out because he's just a tremendous football player.
Are there many guys like him? You said not many play with the urgency and conviction. Are there many guys like him in the league that have his kind of burst? And
there's not many guys that come to know. You know, Barry's like that. You know, he's really good too. You know, there's a few guys, but not very many guys that really jump out because look, he stands alone. So, and he's having a great year, and he just keeps, you know, balling. It's really fun.
The other positive is the guy opposite Sherman.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Mike sent me a note last night. We talked about it earlier today. That secondary group, and yeah, Justin had a couple slip here and then, you know, play at the end, but I mean, even he has been on it. And Keel, to do what he's doing as a rookie opposite Sherman, is this about as good a coverage as we've seen from that spot?
Yeah, and I think he's going to get better. You know, I think what's going to happen, you know, he's so on all the routes. The ball he knocked down in the comeback, which was a fantastic play, well timed, well thrown, all that. He'll catch that ball. You know, he's going to make some picks here in the second half of the season that are going to really light us up, and because he's in position, and they keep trying him, you know, because Sherm's really on it on the other side. Sherm has just been so consistent, and so the ball keeps, I think, what they said, 11 targets yesterday, and he hung in there, you know. So he also had a couple good tackles too, so he's just really playing great football and really excited about him.
You get some time off here. You get a week before going out to New York. What can this team do to get its running game going moving forward?
Well, we won't do a lot during the off time, but we just need to keep pounding. We just keep pounding, keep grinding at it. And the fact that we keep trying, you know, we got to 49 yesterday with the completions and the runs, you know. We're close, but we just got to keep pounding away and get better and be more accurate and stay with it. You know, we threw the ball quite a bit yesterday, but with, you know, I'm not worried about it. I want to keep pounding and keep going, and I think you're going to see. I guess CJ's going to come back next week too, which will be fun to have him back in the action, and we'll just keep getting better.
Quarterbacks typically hate hearing game manager. That felt like after that interception and then roaring back on the 8-minute drive and the points before half, that felt like a game that Russell was going to manage. Yeah, he was not going to make another mistake.
I really liked Russell's game yesterday. His numbers didn't show, you know, the big numbers, but I thought he was resourceful and he was really battling. The drive before the half and then the 2-minute drive again was beautifully done again. And then we clocked it really well at the end, you know, and got the field goal and did all the things we needed to do there. And I just thought it was a really sharp game by him. There's always those passes. We went after these guys and we just missed three different shots and then Tanner's pass too. You know, he had to move and it gave the safety that second shot at him, and you know, he didn't look the safety out very well on the reverse pass. He probably didn't do that very well at Wisconsin either.
That's why they moved in the receiver and the safety and everything else.
But, you know, that was unfortunate. But all in all, I think that I liked Russell's game and I liked what was going on. That was pretty good.
Any conversation before kicking the last field goal, going for it on 4th-and-2?
Conversation?
Did you guys have?
I was dying to go for it. I wanted to go for it.
I figured that was the whole.
Can, I told guys. I said in the old days here. I said on the sidelines to somebody. In the old days here, we were going for that one.
Oh
though.
No!
But
I was screaming at my TV. No, Pete.
I know.
No, Pete. No.
Seriously. Who talked you out of it? Did you thank Tater for this one?
Yeah, Tater was in on it. There was a couple guys.
Please just kick the field goal.
Yeah. The thought was that they were gonna have to score a touchdown with no timeouts, and that's so hard to do. And so that it was just worth it, but I was fighting it.
Can we talk about these timeouts? I this has been like a Brock and I've talked about this a lot. The whole idea of not having enough timeouts at the end of the game, it seems amazing how often it comes back to bite coaches.
Yeah, I guess. Well, I always think that you got to, you know, we practice and prepare to clock manage that, you know, other ways to overcome it. But it does, you know, it does. It gets you bad. They were out of luck, you know, and they wasted two timeouts early. That look how much they needed those at the end. It would have made a different attempt. So, but our guys played it well. They did the right thing. That, you know, you're going to just bleed it out and make sure that you don't give up the big play. And we escaped the one shot they had. And other than that, we're
pretty good. Hard to study, right? I know there's a lot of numbers that you can study and you can look at things. It's always hard to live in a hypothetical to say, well, if you had three timeouts here, it could have done this. But it sure does feel like the more that we've talked about this over the years,
especially
that when
the
you
ones
burn those for an offensive, like in that case, they screwed up a formation. So, like, burn the timeout right there. And then when it comes back in a close game at the end, it just can be crushing.
That's why you try to be good enough so that stuff doesn't happen.
Yeah.
You know, so you don't get caught and so that you have all those advantages at the end.
How about Sheldon Richardson's athleticism?
Yeah, he's a really good athlete. He's a terrific all-around athlete. I've never seen him play hoops, but I would bet he can. You know, I'm sure that's in his background and all that.
You think he's better than Condotta?
Athletically?
I think he'd take him to the hole in a
really?
Heartbeat. Yeah.
I don't know. I saw Bob shooting on video. It looked pretty good.
I don't know. Matter of fact, I guarantee that that would not be a matchup. Yep. Anyway, I know he's a really, really good player, and that was so timely and just fantastic plays, you know, from him. That was his first pick, I guess, too, so it was good.
Just some injury stuff. How's Michael Bennett doing?
I haven't seen Michael today. I'm sure he's walking a little sore. He had that the fascia thing down there, you know, and go a little bit. And I don't know how bad it was. We'll get a look at it. But it was sore, but he came back and played, which was great. And Mike wanted to finish the game, and knowing the week was coming up and all that. We'll see how he is in 2 weeks. You know?
Mentioned pro size. How's Doug been doing? It seemed like he was not quite Doug.
No, he's fine. He's fine. No, he just needed to get the ball a couple more times, you know. We just didn't get it to him a couple times, and we missed him early on there. And so he's fine.
Report that Joel...
He'll be better. I mean, we did have to take care of him during the week again, so he'll be back to full go when we return.
There was a report yesterday morning that Joel may look at a scope possibly during the bye week, the offensive guard. Is that a possibility?
Mm-hmm. He may look at that.
Okay. How about Cliff Averill with the week off? And you said we're going to take good care of him, rightfully so. Going to see everybody, a specialist. How is he progressing?
I think the week comes up at a good time for us, you know, so we can take, you know, and we're trying to get as much time between, you know, the accident and when he's, you know, when they reassess. No progress on that. No word on that right now. We'll just keep going one day at a time, really.
And I think you were asked last Wednesday, we haven't really talked about this because unfortunately when you're out, you're just kind of out of sight, out of mind. But Deshaun Shedd and Malik McDowell are getting kind of close to some decision-making time in the next few weeks.
Yeah, both those guys have really picked it up. And Shedd has been on it the whole time. Well, you're talking about McDowell now.
Yeah, Malik,
I was going with the Deion Jordan. My bad.
Is Deion Jordan close?
Malik McDowell is—he's still quite a ways away. Now, there's nothing moving on that one. But on Deion Jordan is getting close. I went right to him. Yeah, he's worked really hard last week, and the strength and conditioning guys are busting his tail now to get him ready to see how far he can go. That would be an incredible boost for us to give him a chance to be in the mix. So we'll see what happens with that one.
I'm kind of fascinated by Deion Jordan. Just watching him out there, he has the perfect body to be a defensive end in the NFL.
Yeah, he's really got great tools, and yeah, he's really hungry to play. He's been out for such a while, so he's really ready. That would be a fantastic addition if we can get that to happen.
While we got a moment or two, is the other thing that's been hot here on the show today is the idea of these late games in the Pac-12. Obviously, you were in the Pac-12 for a long time, and ESPN saying that the Pac-12 coaches should be thanking the network for putting their games on at all, which I don't quite understand. How important is it as a Pac-12 school to be seen during the day and not play in primetime at night?
Well, I think it does matter for the national recruiting efforts, you know. That's where it applies. Not all the schools are nationally, you know, oriented, but a few of the schools are, you know. I mean, it's better for the conference to do that, yeah. There's no question for a number of reasons, but that's mainly it, you know. But you got bowl issues, you got people that need to know who you are, and you know, you want the consideration and all that stuff. And so that
you ever feel like when you were in your run there that you were fighting for exposure, that being out on the West Coast and being in the windows that you sometimes would have to play against and everything else? Did you ever feel like you had to fight to make sure the country was watching and fight for that exposure?
Trojan didn't have to do that now. Sorry. We didn't have to. Hey, you know, something I want to add to you, and I'm just going to share something with you. I've been asked a lot of times about going down to L.A. and playing and what that's like, and, you know, is it a big deal? And I have consistently blown it off. Like, no. You know, it's fun. I like it, you know, which is what it felt like. Yesterday after the game, I'll share with you guys, I'd had a couple minutes, and I went back down in there, and I just got overwhelmed. I mean, it's the first time I hadn't let myself go there, and I was just overwhelmed with all of the stuff that had happened in those years, you know. And I just was just cavalcading in moments and instances and games and hugs and high fives and all that stuff, and it was really special. And I just hadn't done that, you know. And
where were you?
I just walked down to the bottom of the tunnel, you know, and just looking out, and just, it was really something. In those wonderful years and those wonderful experiences and stuff just came flooding back. I mean, I go there at other times, but I hadn't done it there, and it just didn't let myself until that happened. And now I thought that was. So for all the people who have asked, I've never been able to share that with them, and they all wanted me to, you know. I think, and I love them for the thought, you know. But it was it did come back.
And which moments? Which ones do you think?
There's too many. There's thousands of them. But, you know, I go back to the first one, the UCLA game, when we played them the first night, the last game of the season, the first year, first time the stadium was filled. It was, you know, it was the nighttime game, and that was the first time I ever felt the Coliseum smoking like it did. And it was like that for years after that. You know, we went 5 years in a row with, you know, like, sellouts, you know, which they've never had never done before. So it just went crazy during that time. That was the first time. There was the huge matchups with Ohio State and Auburn, the coming in there, and Nebraska. Those games that went along with the rest of the Pac-10 stuff at the time, and it was just amazing moments. The overtime win, Carson runs one in, you know, and jams it in the end zone, you know, and big matchups. We couldn't beat Kansas State there one time, 6-0, with an unbelievable fight, you know, right to the end. Troy Polamalu, you know, all those wonderful players, Mike Williams and, you know, Reggie and Lundell. And I mean, there was just, it just goes on and on and on. And it was the coach, it was Eddie Orgeron, you know, one of the great ball coach that we put that thing together with, and Brandon and the family. And just goes on. I mean, it just doesn't stop. And I was just overwhelmed by it. I just wanted to
tear up. Yeah. Tear up a little bit.
That's all part of
it's
it.
It's amazing how it's many cool. people from your past continue to filter back into your life, whether it's being in New England and then facing them in the Super Bowl, or just all the USC guys who either wound up on your team or playing against you in big spots. It's really amazing.
I think that's being old.
Well, you said it, not me.
Yeah.
You want to hear that?
Yeah, there long enough, it's going to keep coming. You know,
so. You want to hear that Keith Jackson call one more time?
Oh, let's do that one more time.
Because that smile, the people, I wish y'all could be in this room. And just when we started to play that, the smile that came about.
That's
the
Keith Jackson was part of a lot of it now.
Moment for both these teams is at hand. Number one, defending USC. Number seven, California attacking. California has never, ever beaten a number one ranked team. It is fourth down from the 14. Rodgers throws, end zone, no.
The smile on Pete's face is the opposite of when Pete chews gum during the game.
That's right.
In anger.
Thanks for all that. That was awesome.
Coach,
I appreciate
it.
That.
You got a week off.
Thank you,
enjoy
Coach.
It.